You have to be careful when God uses you that you don't receive that glory, because the world will want to give you that glory. Your most dangerous time in your Christian walk is when God is using you in a mighty way, because people will want to worship you. People will come along and tell you how wonderful you are, and you have to remember God did it, and you have to deflect that praise of man and you give it to God.
To go online to the internet and go to one of the search engines like Google and type the keyword healing, you'll get a gazillion sites that provide you with a vast array of data that one could possibly read in a lifetime about healing in every area. Now, many of us believe that God's word has the power to change people's lives spiritually, but what about physically? Pastor Henry Ganey will explain that God's word doesn't just have some power, it has all power to bring true healing into our lives. Today, from Faith to Faith, Pastor Henry Ganey continues his series of studies in the book of Acts, and today we jump into chapter 3 as we consider a crippled beggar that brought to his feet with rejoicing in his heart to God because God touched him in a marvelous way. With our lesson now from Faith to Faith, here's Pastor Henry.
Acts chapter 3, tremendous, tremendous story here in the Word of God. We have Peter's first sermon in Acts chapter 2. Now we're going to have Peter's second sermon. By the way, they're very similar. They're very similar. You'll find that they're based on Scripture. You'll find that they're based on Jesus Christ and His resurrection, death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. I'm going to read all of this, and then we'll go back through it verse by verse. And a certain lame man who was lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as a lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Acts chapter 3. My footnote here in my Bible, I've got a Scofield Bible. I love Scofield's notes. He was a wonderful Bible scholar, but I don't agree with him always. And here I disagree with him because he says this is the first apostolic miracle, meaning the first miracle done by the apostles. Is that true? No. If you read Matthew chapter 10, Jesus ordained the apostles and he sent them forth. And they cast out demons and they heal people before. So this is not the first miracle done by them. This is the first miracle done by them after Pentecost. You see, before, the Holy Spirit only came upon certain people. And that's true today in a sense, but let me clarify that. Before, God would send the Holy Spirit upon the prophets. He sent the Holy Spirit upon Saul, but then the Holy Spirit later left Saul because of his sins. The Holy Spirit was upon David, and he was upon many, many different men in the Old Testament times, but not upon all of the people of the nation. Today, after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon everyone that believes, or comes into the heart of everyone that believes, and then comes upon us in power to empower us to be his witnesses. So the Holy Spirit is with every one of us and upon us in this day. And so that's the difference in pre-Pentecost and post-Pentecost. Now, as we look at Pentecost, by the way, you know that a lot of people teach about against the baptism and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mentioned this last week, and as I was contemplating this, someone made an excellent point to me. He said, all the Old Testament, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit were manifested in the Old Testament by the prophets, healings and working of miracles and all that. Look at the life of Elijah and Elisha and those guys. I mean, they were doing all these things. There was only one thing that was new, was tongues. That was the only thing that was new. And yet, there are Bible scholars today that teach that God doesn't do miracles anymore because all the apostles are dead. Well, these miracles didn't start with the apostles, and they don't end with the apostles. They started in the Old Testament scriptures, and they're going to go out to the time of the end. God is still in that business of healing people, of working miracles, and doing all these things. And so let's not throw that out. That is unbiblical, unscriptural teaching. And unfortunately, some of the best Bible teachers I know teach that, which breaks my heart. Absolutely breaks my heart. Anyway, let's teach the truth. Let's just take the Bible at face value and not try to read in it something that's not there. It never says these things passed away with the passing of the apostles. There's not one word in Scripture that says that. Back to the word here. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that was a traditional time to go to the temple to pray. And so they went to the temple to pray there in Jerusalem. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. So this man had a congenital illness whereby he had never been able to walk. There was something wrong with his ankle bones and his feet, and he had never been able to walk. And so he was carried daily there to the temple. And his friends or his family would pick up this guy, take him to the temple, and he sat there and he was a beggar. That was the only way he could make his living. He couldn't get up and walk. There was not anything that he could do to make his living, and so he was reduced to being a beggar. And so they took him there and they placed him there every day, and he would beg. Alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And so he was carried there. They laid him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. So there was a gate there. There were many, many gates of the temple, but there was one gate called Beautiful. And that's where they put him, at the entrance to the temple, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Then when he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked an alms. Now in his own mind, they were just people just passing by. So he wasn't really looking at them directly or paying much attention. You know, somebody else come by, please give me some money. You know, give me some money, I'm crippled. But Peter then, fastening his eyes upon him, said, look at us. So previously he glanced at him, you know, for alms, but now Peter says, look at us. So the man looks at Peter. He looks right at him, and Peter is looking at him, and Peter is right there close. And what does Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Modern translation, I don't have any money, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. In the name of Jesus, you're crippled. And I don't know if Peter knew how long he'd been crippled, but he had never walked. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter then took him by the right hand. Luke is writing this, and Luke is always very specific. Luke was a doctor, took him by the right hand. I don't know why, but it was the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. They were healed. He was healed. And he stood up, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Did you ever hear that song? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Great song. It helps you learn all those words, those scriptures. Okay? So Peter said, I'm broke. I don't have any money, but I've got something greater than that for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are crippled. 40 years, congenital, never had walked. Now, this is a tremendous miracle, because not only was his ankle bones and his feet healed, but you know, to walk, you've got to learn how to walk when you're a child. And that takes balance. That takes all kinds of things. And Luke doesn't go into all that detail. He doesn't tell you that the nerves were restored and all that. But it takes all kinds of things to learn to walk. And he had all that immediately from God. Boom. He was able to walk. Wow. You doctors in the congregation here, we'd be put out of business real quick, wouldn't we? Nothing I'd want more than to be put out of business by Jesus, especially Brad, ankle bones and feet. Yeah, healed. Yeah, healed in an instant. Silver and gold have I not. There was once a pope a few years after the church had been in existence, and the church had grown quite wealthy. He had acquired a lot of land and had a lot of money. And one day, one of the men in the church, a godly man, came to see the pope, and the pope invited him in and showed him all the wealth of the church. And he said, no longer can the church say, silver and gold have I none. Look at this. And the man looked at the pope, and he said, yes, and the church can no longer say, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Yeah. Church was not broke, except they were bankrupt spiritually. I would rather be broke and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. So then, as we said, he took him by the right hand. Peter lifted him up. Now, why did Peter lift him up? Why didn't he just wait for the guy to jump up? Sometimes we need a trigger for our faith. Sometimes when God tells us what to do, we need a little shove. We need a little push. We need a little lift from some person or from God himself. And so Peter reached down and took him by the hand and lifted the man up. As he lifted that man up, that man felt something happening. And that thing that was happening was he was being healed. So it gave him the faith and the courage to go ahead and jump up on his feet. I am healed. My ankle bones and my feet, I have the strength. I can walk. So he's walking and leaping and praising. Can you imagine that? Walking and leaping and praising God. Here's a guy who's never walked before. Now, I believe this man truly wanted to be healed too. There's another thing. Jesus asked a blind man one time, do you want to be healed? And he said, yes. You would think that you wouldn't even have to ask that question. There are people that don't really want to be healed. There are people that enjoy their illness. There are people that want to beg and live off of others. I see your faces. You don't quite believe that, do you? Well, I know some. Anyway, back to the story. This man wanted to be healed, and he received that healing, and he was walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, giving God all the glory. Giving God the glory. Can you imagine that? And I know what he was doing. He was walking for the first time. And so why was he leaping and jumping around? Because can you imagine when he was growing up as a little child? Here you are, you're crippled. And all you can do is watch the other kids play. And they're out there running and they're jumping and they're having a great time. And you're there crippled. And you're lying on a mat probably watching all this and thinking, oh, man, if I could only do that. Watching them run races and play games and play ball and no ability to do any of that. And so now he's on his feet, and so he's walking. He's jumping around and saying, hey, I'm going to test this out. Walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, tremendous, tremendous. All the people saw him walking and praising God. And now they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And the people said, wait a minute, this is the guy that's crippled. He's always been crippled for 40 years. He's 40 years old. And we'll get that in the next chapter. 40 years old, and he's always been crippled. He's never walked. Look at him. He's walking and he's leaping, jumping around over there. And so they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You know, God often uses these kinds of things. You know, the last chapter we saw a rushing mighty wind, didn't we? And we saw those tongues of fire, and we saw these people come out of that place speaking in tongues. Now, we don't have to have signs and wonders to proclaim the word of God. But I'll tell you what, it really adds to the message, doesn't it, when something like this happens. Now we don't try to create situations where we make these things happen. But we just pray that God's will be done and let him make these kinds of things happen. And so this is what we see with Peter. When Peter and John went to that temple site, they had no clue. They weren't going there looking for a crippled man to heal him so they could get attention. They just walked in. They saw this guy, and the Lord spoke to Peter's heart right on the spot. Peter didn't plan any of this. I heard one Bible commentator implied that Peter planned all this and set it up. No. Peter was walking in the Spirit, trusting the Lord moment by moment, day by day. As he walked into that temple, here's this guy, rise up and walk. And then the Lord then, oh, I've got an opportunity now to speak the gospel. And so Peter walks through that door that God had opened. And so they were amazed. They were filled with wonder at what had happened. And in verse 11, as a lame man which was healed, he held Peter and John. Oh, this guy was grateful. This guy was grateful. He was hanging on right there. After walking and leaping and praising God, he went back and he was hanging on. I'm sure he was saying, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Holding on to them, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's. There's this porch, there's this area there that they ran together. And here's this lame man and Peter and John, and the whole crowd gathers around. And so Peter, when he saw it, he saw this crowd, then he answered unto the people, you men of Israel. So these were Jews gathered around. You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why are you amazed at this? And then a fascinating thing here that we need to take note of. He said, why do you look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? You have to be careful when God uses you that you don't receive that glory, because the world will want to give you that glory. We saw that when Paul at Lystra, a similar situation, healed a crippled man. And they were ready to proclaim Paul a god there. Barnabas, I think, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercury or something. Anyway, they were ready to proclaim them gods. And it says they could scarcely make the people not offer sacrifices unto them. You have to be careful. Your most dangerous time in your Christian walk is when God is using you in a mighty way. Because people will want to worship you. People will come along and tell you how wonderful you are. Tell you how great you are. And you have to remember, God did it, and you have to deflect that praise of man, and you give it to God. Give glory to God. And that's what he does here. Why do you marvel at this? Why do you look at us as though by our own power or holiness? It's not our power, it's not our holiness that's making this man walk, is what Peter is saying right here. That word, why do you look earnestly? Why do you gaze intently upon us? They were just fixed on these two men. But here, where he gives the glory and the praise, the God of Abraham. It's the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus. And the Bible over and over again speaks about the Son of God. In the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 2 talks about the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. There's some people that say God doesn't have a son. Oh, yes, he does. And if you encounter a Jewish person, take them into Psalm 2. It's right there. That God does have a son. Kiss the son. And so we embrace the son. So he glorified his son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Remember another thing we talked about last week? Peter was bold. 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 I have often been a wimp in my life. I have to confess. I am praying for boldness. I am praying for boldness. I pray for boldness for you too. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's a power of salvation to all that believe. To the Jew first, it was offered to the Jew, and then to the Greek, to the Gentiles, to us. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Let's not be ashamed of him, you know. I do believe that when we first get saved, and also during our Christian walk, there are tests along the way that God puts us through. Not that he doesn't know, but to let us find out where our hearts is. And he puts us in situations of witnessing where we'll know, are we ashamed of Jesus Christ? Are we going to speak in this tough situation? Are we going to stand up and be counted for the Lord? Are we going to proclaim him? Let's do it. Let's do it. Now, you might think, well, I really don't want them to know I'm a Christian because my language hasn't been so good and so pure. And clean up your language. Clean up your life. Clean up your act. Let the Lord do it, but proclaim him anyway. Proclaim him anyway, and let the Lord take care of that cleansing process. Be his witness. We need boldness. Peter is bold. He says to these guys, you took him. You're the ones. You crucified him. I mean, you know, these are words that he says, you denied the Holy One and the Just. Wait a minute, I skipped that. He says, you delivered him up. You denied him in the presence of Pilate. In other words, you said he was not God, was not who he said he was. You denied him when Pilate was determined to let him go. but you denied the Holy One and the Just One, and you desire to murder. You'd rather have a murderer than Jesus. And there are people like that today. There are people like that today. And I read their newspaper columns and I see them on television. They'd rather have a murderer than Jesus. But you wanted this murderer. You denied the Holy One and the Just One and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life. Now that's a paradox, isn't it? You killed the Prince of Life. Jesus, who came into the world to give us life, they put him to death. The source of life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God is made up of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus was part of that creation act there. He was creating, and he breathed life into man, and man became a living soul, and yet he came as a man that he might die. So the Prince of Life, the very one, the life giver, the life sustainer, was slain there at Mount Calvary, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead. You see, it's not the end of the story. That's why I don't really like crucifixes with Jesus on the cross, because that's only half the story. Yes, he died for our sins, but he was risen from the dead. I like an empty cross, because he's gone. He's not there anymore, and I like an empty tomb. He is in the heavenly realm with the Father, waiting for that day to come back. You kill the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. We're the witnesses of it. We have seen all this, the apostles, 12 of them, and the others, disciples. We are witnesses of all of these things. We know what you did. You killed the Prince of Life. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. So you want to know if Jesus is alive or not? He's in the heavenly realm, but let me tell you something. He's alive because his name, through faith in his name, healed this man right here that you see before you. He is alive. He's in the heavenly realm, and he is working right now in our midst. He healed this man. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He gives us the faith to believe in him that we might be born again, but he also gives us faith in particular situations. There's more than one kind of faith. That first faith is general faith, that we come to Christ and believe in him. But there's another faith where we abide with Jesus and we walk with him day by day, and he gives us faith for particular situations that come along in our lives. And those are the witnessing situations I was talking about a moment ago. When you feel like the Lord's laying it on your heart to witness to somebody or to tell them, and you don't have the courage, ask the Lord to give you the faith. You may not even have to bow your head. Just pray. Send up a quick prayer. Lord, give me the words. Give me the faith. Empower me, Lord. Let me say what I need to say right now to be your witness, Lord. And so that faith which is by him, there's faith in him for salvation. There's faith which is by him for doing his work. And he will give you that faith in those situations. So the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So Peter is saying, when I walked here and this man was healed, that faith was by Jesus. It wasn't me, it was by Jesus. This man was made whole and healed.
Well, this is what Jesus does in our lives. We can call upon the name of the Lord. As this crippled beggar got more than his request from Peter, he got to walk again, lead a normal life. As Pastor Henry has been teaching us in Acts chapter 3 on today's program, From Faith to Faith. If this is your first time tuning in, first of all, we want to thank you for taking the time to hear the program today. And if you're interested in knowing more about the radio ministry, simply reach us by phone at 229-228-5604. Again, that's 229-228-5604. You can also write to us from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. Again, that address is from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. You're also welcome to go to our website for more information at ccthomasville.com. That's ccthomasville.com. And again, our phone number is 229-228-5604. And then please make it a point to join with Pastor Henry Ganey for our next program, From Faith to Faith. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Thomasville in Georgia. Lord, with all my soul.
soul with all my heart.